I'd like you, please, to turn with me to a few scriptures in the New Testament. I'd like to begin just by reading one verse in 1 Timothy. First epistle of Paul to Timothy in chapter 6. And partway through verse 14. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in its own time the blessed and only ruler shall show, the King of those that reign, the Lord of those that exercise lordship, who only has all immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor is able to see, to whom be honour and eternal might. Amen. And now I'd like us to turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 5. Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 5. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men. Having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, granted him a name, that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. We might just refer to another verse of Scripture in Revelation. Last book in the Bible, Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And he judges and makes war in righteousness. And his eyes are a flame of fire. Upon his head many diadems, having a name written, which no one knows but himself. And he is clothed with a garment dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in the heaven followed him upon white horses, clad in white, pure, fine linen. And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he might smite the nations, and he shall shepherd them with an iron rod. And he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And he has upon his garment and upon his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'd like to speak a few words about the greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus. Yesterday, a king was crowned. A lot of pomp and circumstances, fine robes, much display, and much ostentation. But I would like to speak to you about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The king of our country is but one of many kings, and all will one day have to bow the knee to Jesus. And my desire in speaking to you about the person and work of the Lord Jesus is that you should bow the knee to him now. The day is coming when men will have to. Persons have sworn allegiance to a new king. I have nothing to say about that. But what we need to do is to bow the knee to Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour, now. Because God has appointed a day when he's going to judge the whole habitable world in righteousness by the man he's appointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we read firstly in the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, and it speaks of how the Lord Jesus came into manhood. Now that's the most wonderful thing that's happened. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. The fullness of time. The time was right when the Lord Jesus came into this earth, into this world. The world that he'd made with his hands. How great he is in his person. The Lord Jesus never ceased to be who he was by what he became. He came into a condition of humanity, sin apart. Must always carefully protect the fact that the Lord Jesus came here in perfection of manhood. He was God in his person, God manifest in flesh, the scripture says. So we have the Lord Jesus coming into the condition, sin apart, in which we find ourselves, God drawing near to man. What wonderful grace that God should draw near to people like you and me that should come to his own. And John records, he came, that's the Lord Jesus, came to his own, and his own received him not. And as we read through those four Gospels, you see how all of those people to whom the Lord came, who when he drew near to them, many believed, but the leaders, the rulers, and many rejected him. The Lord Jesus was rejected of the nation to whom he came. But as many as received him, to him gave he the right to be called children of God. So there's a most wonderful thing that God drew near to men. He came, he was born in Bethlehem as a babe laid in a manger. Think of the lowliness of the incoming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The one who will one day come to reign came in a lowly way. He entered into Jerusalem in a lowly way. Thy king cometh to thee in lowly and humble. And he was mounted on an ass and the foal of an ass. The Lord Jesus didn't come here as a great personage. He wasn't born in Buckingham Palace. He wasn't born in a great palace. He came into a scene where there was no room for him. There was no room in Bethlehem for Mary and Joseph to lodge. And they had to take shelter in a stable. And the Lord Jesus was born in a stable and laid in a manger. I can think of no lowlier, no humbler way of coming into the world than that. And the Lord Jesus Christ emptied himself and came that way. Oh, the wonder of the grace of God. And why did he come? Why did he come that way? Why did he come into manhood and live among men? He grew up and lived among men and went around doing good. The scriptures are full of the things, the four gospels are full of the things that Jesus said and did when he came here. Well, why was this? I think one scripture that answers it is, for God so loved the world. God loved the world of lost, ruined sinners. He loved mankind so much he sent his Son to deal with the great sin question. Matter of sin and sins has plagued the human race since Adam disobeyed. Adam was placed in a wonderful position, given a job to do in a lovely garden planted by God. And he had to till it, to turn the soil over, and to guard it. And what did he do? He was given everything to eat that he could possibly manage. Everything except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did man do? He ate of the one tree God told him not to do. And that brought and threw the world into confusion, into sin. And sin came in, and as a result came death. And God says very clearly, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that has not been rescinded. But the wonderful thing is God also sent his Son, and his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he sent, that he gave. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And to save sinners, he had to die. He had to suffer and die, and his blood had to be shed. We see in the book of Leviticus, offerings were made to God. And they were pictures or types of the coming death of Christ. The Lord Jesus fulfilled those offerings we read of in Leviticus, in his life and in his death. And so God had sent to man a type or picture of what he was going to do in reality, which he did when the Lord Jesus came in and came and suffered and died. He was rejected of his people. You can read it in the Gospels. I was looking just now through the Gospel of Matthew, and the crowd said, "Away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us." His own people, the Lord Jesus had come to seek and to save, rejected him. They delivered him up to the Roman authority to be put to death. And the Lord Jesus suffered and died, the just for the unjust. He didn't suffer and die on his own account. He was sin apart. He was perfect. He ever did the will of God. No thought, no action, nothing the Lord Jesus did or could do was moved apart from the will of God. And yet that perfect holy man was made sin for you and for me, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that's God's plan of salvation, God's plan of blessing for you and me. People crown kings and they hope for good things, and we trust that will be so. But the wonderful thing is that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has come here as a man, suffered and died, and risen again. The wonderful thing is the Lord Jesus has been here. He suffered and died. His blood has been shed here that you and I might have our sins forgiven. He's been raised again from the dead, and he's gone back into heaven. The Lord Jesus has triumphed over sin and Satan and the grave, and therefore a new and living way stands open now to heaven. You and I may not only be forgiven our sins, that is wonderful, but we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has given this. Galatians chapter 4 is a wonderful chapter, and it speaks of really what God has done. I'll read the verses to you because I think they're important to think about. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, come of woman, come under law, that he might redeem those under law, that we might receive sonship. But because ye are sons, God has sent out the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So thou art thou art no longer bondman, but son. But if son, heir also through God. So God has seen our helpless, lost estate, our lost condition, how that we could do nothing to save ourselves. And you can't. Still today, there's nothing you can do to deserve merit or earn eternal salvation. It's all of God. And God has done this in the fullness of time. It was the right time when God sent his Son. God chose the time. God chose everything. And we were reading this afternoon how he's chosen believers. But as we said, the gospel is for whosoever will. And it's wonderful that a message of love, a message of hope, a message of grace of God can go out to you and to me today because of what Jesus has done. Well, how great is the Saviour? He suffered sufferings unfathomed. We cannot with our creature minds conceive what it meant to the Lord Jesus to be made sin and to suffer on account of it. so that you and I might have those sins forgiven, that you and I might go free, that you and I might possess the gift of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful is our God. How great he is. King of kings, Lord of lords is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day he's coming forth in that power. He came first in lowliness and grace, as we said. Born in a stable, laid in a manger, grew up in poverty, knew what it was to suffer hardship, but he did good, going around healing all who were possessed of the devil, who were sick, who were lame, who were blind, and you can read about them in the Gospels. That was the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, expressing the love of God to people like you and me. And that person was rejected, was crucified, nailed to a cross, lifted up to die. And he suffered and died, but he's risen again and living. And the Lord Jesus is coming again soon for those who belong to him, for you and for me. Are you ready and waiting for the Lord to come? He's coming very quickly. This week he's a week nearer than he was last week. And the Lord is coming again. And he's coming for all who belong to him. But I read in Revelation about a time when he's coming to reign. Firstly, the Lord will come for his church, for those who belong to him, for those who put their faith and trust in him. And then he's going to come and take up his rights here. In the very place where he was cast out, rejected and crucified, he's going to reign. He's coming again to Jerusalem, and he will reign from there. His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, Scripture tells us. So the Lord Jesus, the one who was rejected, was not wanted, was spurned, was cast out and crucified, is come again in power and great glory. And he will be seen, every eye will see him. Well, what a wonderful day it will be when the Lord takes up his rights in this poor world. It's getting worse, the world is going to its doom. It's getting far worse, we know. And it will do, but the Lord Jesus will one day come and take up his rights here. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, that's written. And men will have to accept it. The wonderful thing now is that you and I can bow the knee to Jesus now. We can accept him as our Lord and Saviour and own his authority now while he's still rejected in this world. The world hasn't changed its opinion of Christ. But we can change our opinion of him and come to him, put our faith and trust in him and know what it is to enjoy his peace and the forgiveness of our sins. Well, that's the gospel message. The gospel message goes out freely to all mankind. Everyone in Aberdeen can come to the Saviour today. There's no limitations, but God is still appealing in grace. The day of grace will close when the Lord comes to take his church, to take his own, to be with himself. The day of grace will close. And then it will be a question of the Lord coming in power and great glory to take up his rights here. Well, I read that scripture in Revelation just to make it clear to us how powerful, how great, and how glorious is King of kings and Lord of lords. As we said, we've seen a king crowned. But we're now engaged with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. However powerful a man may be in this world, all will have to bow the knee to Jesus. Why not bow your knee to him now? Confess him as your Lord and Saviour. Come into the knowledge of his love and grace and blessing. May you do so for his name's sake.